Okay. Yeah, I'm going to record it to you. You can record it, sure. Okay, the Zechen Nishmas, Brian Abracha, Bas Aryeh Yaakov. Okay, first I'd like to thank Tehila for arranging everything and taking care of everything. And, okay. Okay, so, Tehila asked me to speak about Chodesh Adar. I will do that. If you want to ask any questions at any point, you want me to speak about anything specific, we could, you know, feel free to stop me or interject, you know. I don't believe in lecture style as much, so feel free, okay? So the Gemara says in Tainus, Amar v'hud debrei d'Rav Shmuel b'shelas mishmei d'Rav, Kishem mishenichnas av matim besimcha, kach mishenichnas adar marbin besimcha. That this idea mishenichnas adar marbin besimcha, and the Gemara says that it's a halacha. What's the halacha? The halacha is that if you have some type of dispute with a non-Jew, and you have to go to court, so you should schedule the court date in a time where it'll be auspicious for yourself, and that would be in Chodesh Adar, and not in Chodesh Av, which is a month that represents, you know, destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So obviously, that wouldn't be the best time to do it. The Achronim talk about the fact that it's interesting, and maybe you could think of ideas for yourself, that this halacha is not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Meaning the din of Mishenichnas Av Mamatim Simcha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, but Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Simcha is not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham, one of the commentaries on the side, brings it down, but the Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't bring down this halacha. And it's a real halacha. It's not just about, you know, being happy, and it's a halacha about, you know. And it's a bit chiddush because, you know, the Sefer Shaul Kenyan asks that, and other Achronim ask, that we have a concept in Halacha, a pasuk in Kedoshim, Lo Se'onenu. What does Lo Se'onenu mean? It means you shouldn't say that this is a good time and this is a bad time. There is the Mefarshim explain, in other words, something can be a good time or a bad time for you based on your personal schedule. That's not a problem. But like a superstitious thing, this fourth Friday in the month, I don't know, is, you know, you have some mishigas in your head that this is superstitious, so then you're not allowed to do that. So why isn't this not a violation? That's what some of the Mefarshim ask. Why isn't this not a violation of that halacha? And one of the answers given by the Saba Kadisha, you know, the Saba Kadisha was a Sephardi Rav who was, he was like over 100 years old. And the Munkach Rebbe was very interested in meeting him. And he went from Eretz Yisrael to meet him in Morocco, wherever it was, to meet him, and they spent some time together. And then this Rav passed away during the time that they were together. And a book is written about the whole visit, the Munkach Rebbe's visit to the Saba Kadisha, to Rav Al-Fandari. It's interesting. If you want to see the Munkach, the famous clip. Everyone see that clip? The Munkach Chasana? Okay, that's a recommended reading or viewing. The clip of the Munkach Chasana. Fascinating. About you see how people go to the Chasana, and the Munkach Rebbe was speaking about the Chil Shabbos in America. They say apparently he knew it was being clipped, and he figured people in America would see it. And he was yelling about the Chil Shabbos in America. So he writes, Rav Al-Fandari writes, that it's different. Over here, we're not, you're not deciding that this is a good day and this is not a good day. This Hashem already decided that this is a good day. So in other words, you can't say, oh, this day is not a good day. But if we have certain days that are on the calendar that are considered days of Simcha, so then that's not Lo Soneinu. Lo Soneinu means for me to decide that, you know, I'm spooked out about, you know, this the second Tuesday of the month, whatever thing, you know, that you're not allowed to do. But if you think that, but if the Torah already or Chazal tell us that this is a this day is has a chashivas to it and a simcha to it, or this month, you know, so be it. And it's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch has an interesting halacha. It's not clear that we paskin like this halacha, and that is that if someone's going on a trip and is not going to have the Megillah. So really, the Megillah is you read on the 14th or the 15th, depending upon where you live. And then the Mishnah says that they used to sometimes, for the farmers, they would read it on the 11th of the month, 12th of the month. But Yerushalmi says that if you're not going to be with the Megillah, you're going on a caravan someplace, you could even start reading the Megillah from Rosh Chodesh Adar, because it's a din in the month. As the Pasuk says, HaChodesh Asher Nepach Lehem Biyagon L'Simcha. So it's different opinions whether we follow this opinion of the Yerushalmi. That's what the Oros Tshuva writes. He's the grandson of the Chasam Sofer. He says maybe the reason why that the Shulchan Aruch didn't write Mishenichnas Adar Marim Simcha, because it already wrote this halacha that you can read the Megillah from Rosh Chodesh Adar. So it must be, and then based on the pasuk Achodesh Asher Nevach Lachem Biyagon L'Simcha. So already the underpinning understanding that you can read the Megillah already, you know, tomorrow. So that implies that it's a Zman HaSimcha, and therefore it would be redundant for the Shulchan Aruch to therefore have to say Mishem Nichnas Adar Marbim Simcha. That's what the Yesoros Tshuva was, a grandson of the Chasam Sofer. He was killed in Auschwitz, I think, in age 95. And he was from the grandson of the Chasam Sofer. It's interesting that the Rashi on that Gemara of Mishenichtas Adar Marbim Simcha, the end of Tainus, says, Yimei Nisim Hayu L'Yisrael Purim U'Pesach. That Mishenichtas Adar Marbim Simcha is, because it's a time of miracles, Purim U'Pesach. So the obvious question is, why is it mentioning Pesach? Mishnechnas Adar Marbim Simcha. So Purim, what does Pesach have to do with anything? What is the point? So Rav Yaakov Emden is the son of who? What? You're thinking of the Aruch HaShulchan and Torah Tumim, is that maybe what you're thinking of? Yeah. Rav Yaakov Emden is the son of the Chacham Tzvi. Heard of the Chacham Tzvi? Chacham Tzvi was what? Rav in Amsterdam. He has a famous psak. He became famous in this generation, Chacham Tzvi, for one thing. One thing. Any idea? One thing. Even they make t-shirts. I follow the Chacham Tzvi. You know what that one thing is? He's the one, I shouldn't say the one, but he's the leading posek who permitted people who are B'nai Chutz La'aretz that go to the Eretz Yisrael, even though they're coming back, to only keep one day of Yontif. So that's why people like to quote him in this generation. Because, you know, in the old generation, people were more into keeping 2 days. Now it became more common. I'm not saying what you should do, but I'm just pointing out that the Chacham Tzvi was the one who said, you know, he was the one who had that psak. And whether we should follow it or not is a separate discussion. You can take it up with whoever you take it up with when you're going to Eretz Yisrael for Yontif. But he had a son, Rav Yaakov Emden. And Rav Yaakov Emden said, and this Rav Yecheskel Lehrer thought the pshat was, that Rashi is trying to say it's we're starting a new season now of Purim Pesach. It's not just the Adar means once we're starting Adar, we're pushed. As Rabbi Lehrer said, we're starting this new season of Nisim and Purim and Pesach. And that's why, as some point out, and Stringer points out in his Kuntres, that based on the Rav Yaakov Emden, it comes out that what? That Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Simcha only is by Adar Sheni, not by Adar Rishon. That doesn't have the stat. So if you have a time that you want to go to court with a non-Jew over something, so tomorrow. Start going tomorrow but other Rishon, even though it's in that country, so Stringer points out that from Rav Kaufman that the Chasam Sofer seems to say not that way, that even other Rishon is, you know. And then there's this famous thing, this bar mitzvah thing. You know about this? So let me tell you. Say a young man was born last week, okay? And then another boy was born next week. The boy who was born, so he's going to be born, say, in Zion Adar Sheni. The other boy was, say, born in Chav Daled Adar Rishon. And if in the year of their bar mitzvah, it's not a leap year, so the boy who was born second is going to be bar mitzvah before the one who was born first, because it's going to be Adar, and he'll be Zion Adar, and the other one is Chav Daled, even though he was born in Alipia, so he was born in Chav Daled. That's the interesting perplexity of that idea of somebody born later, and is only going to become he's going to become the Bar Mitzvah before the other fellow. It's interesting that that Adar is a time, the B'nai Yisachar writes this, of emuna in Hashkacha. In other words, a lot of times, one area in Yiddishkeit, I think that people maybe need more chizik. I mean, like people are into, you know, all the Jewish culture things that we do, you know, properly. But emuna sometimes might be lacking. Emuna to really believe that Hashem runs the world and things that are happening in our lives or in the global world is all having to do with Yad Hashem. That nekuda sometimes is difficult to really to internalize that. But it's interesting, the one of the Magidim, the Yechiel Michal of Zlachov, it was one of the great Magidim. He said, the word emuna, okay, comes from one word in Megillas Esther. Any idea? Vayihi omein es hadasa, hi Esther bas dodo. Omein means he raised her. So he says, emunam means that if a person believes, the belief fosters HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give Shefa to the person. In other words, the more you believe in Hashkacha, the more Hashkacha takes place on you. In other words, we're in a certain way in control of the Hashkacha that Hashem has on us to commensurate to the amount of belief that we have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives. And sometimes it's a hard thing. It's much easier to eat matzah on Pesach or to do all the mitzvahs that we do than emunah. Emunah is like one of the hardest things. In fact, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said in one of his forum, he was asked the following question. He said, emunah is so hard. You know, so many people who are big intellectuals, you know, messed up. They don't believe. They don't have this emuna. So how do we expect like a 13-year-old, a 12-year-old woman, a 13-year-old bar mitzvah man to have, once he's bar mitzvah, yichayiv in all the mitzvahs, so yichayiv in emuna. But how can, isn't that something so sophisticated? How can we require emuna from such young people? So Rabbi Chanan responded, no, emuna is very simple. He says, he pointed this coat. Do you think this coat just happened by itself? No, it would be ridiculous. Obviously, there was a seamstress that wove it with whatever modern-day machinery we have, but it didn't just happen by itself. So the complexity of the world and human beings, obviously, is so much more complex than this coat. So there must have been some force, some being, namely the Ribono Shel Olam, that created it and is involved in the whole upkeep and hashkacha, etc. So then, why do people not have emuna? He says, well, if you don't have emuna, so it's a big shochad, because if you have emuna, so then you have to then following all the commandments of the Torah. But if you want to opt for the other way and saying, I don't have emuna, so then it's a free-for-all. So he says, that is one word, shochad. That's a big bribe, because look what you're going to get. You're going to get all this so-called freedom if you opt to the other way. And it seems like you have all these limitations if you're going to opt with the track of emuna. So he says, emuna is really pashut, like he explained the mushroom with the coat. But it's just that we have so much shochad feeding us in the other direction that taking away our emuna. So that is, so Purim is this man that it wasn't Nes Nigla. It wasn't like Kriyas Yamsuf or things like that. It was everything was in the Teva of what happened. And we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was behind it, right? As we know, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appear even once in the Megillah. Because this is the month, the Bnei Yisachar explains this, that we have to realize the Emunah Bashem, and therefore, and we also realize commensurate with the amount of Emunah we have in Hashem, will be the amount of Hashkacha and the amount of bounty that we're going to receive from Hashem. I'll tell you this, it's apropos for this year to say over this following vort, from the Rebbe, who was Rebbe? Reb Zusha. Who's the Rebbe Reb Zusha? You must have heard. Yeah. So what's the Rebbe? Who is his brother?
No,
Noam Elimelech. It's the Yortzai, right? In Ivana, right? People, enough people going now. I don't know how safe it is to go now, but you know, the Noam Elimelech's brother was the Rebbe Reb Zusha. So he has a lot of interesting things to say. But one of the things he says is in Parshas Bahar. And he has one pasuk in Parshas Bahar that he thinks is like very unique from any other pasuk in Chumash. V'chi somar manocha bashana hashvis. You know that pasuk? In Bahar. What does that pasuk say? A person might say, what am I going to eat in the Shemitah year? Hey, no nizra, v'lo nesav es tvoseinu. We're not able to harvest, so what are we going to do? So Hashem says, v'tzivisi es b'rchosi aleichem v'asas es tvoa l'shol l'shonim. And I'm going to give a bracha to you that whatever produce you have from before should last for 3 years. Why is that pasuk strange? let's not say strange a pasuk, but what's unique about this pasuk that you probably don't have? I don't know. Maybe you can find me one other, but maybe, but very unique. What's so unique about this pasuk? Again, the pasuk says, "V'chis." What is unique about that pasuk? You know what's unique about the pasuk? You see, the Chumash is either narratives, commandments. It's not like questions and answers. The Chumash is not formulated. If you're going to say this, if you're going to think this way, so then this. That's like more like a Gemara, or you know, like a, you know what I mean? But where do you find this idea that the Torah speaks to us in like a question-answer mode? Come out nowhere. Do you find that in Chumash? So the Rebbe Rav Zusher wanted to understand what is the Torah trying to teach us by formulating itself in that way. So he says the following. What the Torah is teaching us is the following. That the person who's... What the Torah is saying is like this. Hashem says, you can have Shemitah. So Hashem realizes that if you can have Shemitah, you're not going to work the land, and therefore there's going to be problems. But Hashem says, you know, obviously we believe that everything that Hashem says in the Torah is Drachei Adarchei Noam. That there's nothing in the Torah that will cause anguish in our lives. That's a big yisod. If you think there's anything in Yiddishkeit that's causing you anguish, then you should ask somebody about it, because maybe you're not understanding it properly, or you're not, you know, because Drachei Adarchei Noam means everything in the Torah is what? Is pleasant. And if it's not pleasant, there's a problem. Something went wrong, something. The Gemara has a discussion, like, what are the Dalad Minim? So the Dalad Minim in the Chumash, Pri Eitzada Kapos Tamarim, so we know it because we know what we do, but you wouldn't necessarily figure it out on your own just reading the Chumash. So the Gemara has a discussion. How do you know it means a lulav? Maybe it means this. How do you know it means this? Maybe it means this. So one thing the Gemara asks is, maybe it's this plant that has thorns. And the Gemara says it can't be that. Because the Torah would never give us a mitzvah to take thorns in your hand like that and prick yourself like that. And it just, the Torah would never, because the Torah would never say such a thing. So what the Rebbe Rav Zusher is saying is what the Torah is trying to tell us like this, that if you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you believe in the Tzivuyim of Hashem, that all the Tzivuyim are Darachei Adarchei Noam, and all the Tzivuyim are for our good, so then Hashem will continue to turn on, to keep the faucet going. And give us bracha. The faucet of bracha will remain on. But what the pasuk is saying is, if you question, that means that you don't really fully believe in Hashem's commandments, or that all Hashem is commanding is for our benefit. So then Hashem says, you know what's going to happen? The faucet now goes off. Because, again, the idea is that commensurate with our emunah is going to be the bracha. That's why the Maggid of Rabbi Chiel Michal Zlotchev says, emunah is from the word vehi omein es hadasa. Emunah means to grow, gidul, raise. It was to raise the bracha, to have the bracha come out, is because we believe in Hashem's capabilities. So so that's what the Rav Chiel Michal Zlotchev says. The word emuna stems from that same word, he omenes hadasa, he ester bas dodo. And what the pasuk is telling us is, this person who's questioning it, Hashem says, you stop the faucet. So if I'm going to have to give you bracha now, I'm going to have to turn it on again. The tzivisi is brachosi. But therefore, the Rebbe Reb Zusha says the Torah phrased it in this very unique way to teach us this lesson. That when a person was questioning, it showed that he didn't really have that full amunah. And he didn't have full amunah, so then you stop the shefa, because again, amunah and omein are the same. And that's what the Bnei Yisrael says is the avoda of Chodesh Adar, is to realize the whole nace of Purim is a nace that came about from things that are derech hateva, not the splitting of the sea of that, but that's what Hashem is involved in all our lives and every day. Anytime, whatever life experiences we have, Hashem let it happen for a reason. It wasn't just coincidence. Every step in our lives is Hashkachas Hashem, and we have to have that belief, and that's something that's very, very important to in the Chag of Purim. And it's again, the Chag of Purim is not only a 1 day, 2 day thing. It's really a din of the month, at least up till Tezvav. After Tezvav, it's already Lo Yavar, except for the Yerushalmi that says that what? That when you have, if Purim would fall out on Friday here and Yerushalayim on Shabbos, so it's a very interesting halacha that it became the minhag of Yerushalayim to split Purim up into 3 days, the Purim Meshulash, which is fascinating, because if you would tell me, if Purim fell out on Friday and Shushan Purim is on Shabbos, so what would I tell you? What do you think Purim should be? Well, you can't read the Megillah on Shabbos, so you read it on Friday. And the Suda? What do you think the Suda should be? Maybe Erev Shabbos, but even better. When? Well, what would you think it should be? What? On Shabbos. Why not? What's wrong with having it on Shabbos? Have a suit on Shabbos. We have a suit on Shabbos all the time. And that's what the some Rabbanim in Yerushalayim yesteryear thought. But Yerushalmi says not that way. And what's the reason for Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi says because Purim is also about like Pirsumei Nisa, and things have to be noticeable. And therefore, if you can have it on Shabbos, we always have a Suda on Shabbos, so it's not going to be noticeable that it's a Suda's Purim. So therefore, that's why it gets its own day, even though that old day is after the time. Usually, Tezvav, that's it. Tezayin is after the limits. But the idea being that Purim is Pirsumei Nisa, so it has to stand out on its own, the Suda's Purim. Suda's Purim has to stand out on its own, and it's on a Sunday when it's not the time for any Purim celebration, really. Okay. The Gemara Pesachim says that there are three occasions, in the Jewish calendar where the idea of having a Suda is primary. Meaning, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, how are you supposed to celebrate Shabbos or Yontif? So one opinion says, you have a choice. You can either spend the whole day learning and davening, that's one way of doing it, or basically the whole day eating or drinking. The whole day L'Hashem or the whole day L'Chem. That's one of The other opinion says, no, you split it. Chatzi l'Hashem, chatzi l'Hashem. Half the day you're in shul, davening, half the day you're eating. But the Gemara says that certain days in the Jewish calendar, you don't have the choice. You have to do l'Hashem. You can't do kulu l'Hashem. You have to do l'Hashem. So what are those three occasions? Any idea? Erev Yom Kippur, that's an interesting point. Erev Yom Kippur is, there's a discussion of that. Okay, what else? Purim. Purim. Okay, Purim, yeah, what else? Pesach, no. Purim. What else? Shemitah Atzeres. Three occasions. Purim. Purim is one of them. Yeah. In other words, that you can't say. There were two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion says that you have a choice: kulu l'Hashem, kulu l'Hashem. The other opinion says no. You just do chatzi l'Hashem, chatzi l'Hashem. But the other opinion says that you could choose to do kulu l'Hashem, right? But the three occasions where you don't have that choice, you can't do kulu l'Hashem. Kulu l'Hashem would be inappropriate. So Purim is one of them. So you can't say in Purim, I'm going to learn and daven the whole day, and I'm not going to really have so much, It's a question whether kulu l'Hashem means even to fast. Rav Shechter thought it meant to have some small meal. Others hold it means even to fast. You can't do that. It has to have l'Hashem. So we said the three occasions. So one of them is Purim. Well, let's stick to the regular Jewish calendar. Rosh Hashanah is interesting, because Rosh Hashanah, you can fast even, right? There are people that fast on Rosh Hashanah, even though that's not our general practice. Shavuos. Very good. Shavuos. Okay, now we got two out of the three. Purim, Shavuos. And what's the third? What? Shabbos! Oh! Yeah, two out of three. Shabbos. Not Tisha B'Av. Yeah. Shabbos. So those are the three. Shabbos, Purim, and Shavuos. So what's the commonality? What's the commonality? So there's a sefer called Binyan Shlomo, of Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna. And he discussed what he thinks the commonality is of these three occasions. So he says like this. You ever hear of the sefer called the Shiltos? The Shiltos? Is that name? What is the Shiltos? The Shiltos is the first sefer, as some point out, that was written after the Gemara. It goes back a long time. It was from the Gaonic period, so it's a long, it goes with the Parsha. So it's like one of the oldest svarim out there. And it's on the Seder of the Parsha. Rabbi Tendler Zatzal, Rabbi Moshe Tendler, who was a Rosh Hashiva here, was Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law. In his shul, Friday night, he would teach his Balabatim from the Shiltos. Today you have very few people who are giving shiur from the Shiltos. So the Shiltos says that the reason why we have a Suda on Shabbos is because there's a concept of Chanukah Sabayis. When you build something new, a new house, a new Beis HaMikdash, there's an inyan to celebrate the new thing. You know what the Gemara says in Mar Katan, that the year that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, they celebrated Sukkos for 7 days. And 7 days before that, they celebrated the Chanukah's Habayis of the new Beis HaMikdash, and that means that they ate on Yom Kippur that year. And they were very nervous, you know, eating on Yom Kippur, you know, not simple. And then Baskol came out and says, don't worry, you did the right thing, you all have a chelek in Olam Haba. But it's so important, Chanukah's Habayis. Chanukah's Habayis. So when the world was created, it's not a bias, but the world. Chanukah's Ha'olam. It's a new world. So we have to have a Suda in commemoration of the new world. But you know what Hashem says, that if Klal Yisrael doesn't accept the Torah, right? Yom HaShishi. Vayichu HaShemayim Shishi B'Sivan. Hashem says, if Klal Yisrael will accept the Torah, fine. If not, the world will go back to what? Tohu Vavohu. So therefore, we accepted the Torah on Shavuos, and now the world is firm. So we have to have another Suda to commemorate what? The Brias HaOlam, like another Chanukah Sabayis. Because now the world is really, is, you know, Chanukah Sabayis, but now that Bayis might have fell down. The world would have gone back to Tov Avo. Now it's strong. But as we know, that Chazal tell us that the Kabbalah HaTorah of Shavuos was under duress. Right? So they had to accept the Torah when? Again in Purim. Chadar Kiblu B'mei HaShverosh. And now the world is really firm. So therefore another Suda for the Binyan HaOlam. So those are the three times in the calendar that we're commemorating the creation of the world, the fact the world is staying, and the fact that it's really staying. There's Shabbos and Shavuos and Purim. And that's part of the Yontif of the part of Adar as well, because now we have the world is Kayam. It's not going back to Tov Vavo anymore. And I think part of the month of Adar, as the Bnei Yisrael explains, is that we want to focus in life on things that have kiyum. But certain things in life, you know, are here now, gone tomorrow. You know, they're very flighty. It might be enthralling, but it's here now, gone tomorrow. But certain things that we do in life, all the chasadim they do, all the mitzvahs that we do, they're eternal. So this is the month of focusing on eternity, because this is the month that the world became eternal, because we accepted the Torah Mi'ava, and that's not going to go back to Tov Vavo. You know, the Rabbeinu B'chai in Parshas Truma, He says the minhag used to be that when they would bury an individual, they would make a coffin out of his table. There was his table where he had guests and he had all types of things. That's going with him to eternity. Not all the everything, his car and his whatever, and, you know, all the things that were vehicles of chesed and Torah, and that's what he's literally taking with him for eternity. And to show that minhag became to bury the person with that vehicle, so to speak, the vehicle of his chesed that's malava him. And that's perhaps the idea of Purim, is the time that the Torah made the world firm, and it's the time where, you know, relationships are formed. You know, the time of Mishloach Manos Ishtoyeu, Matanos Levionim. You know, there's a sefer called the Sefer Apirion. Who wrote that? Rav Shlomo Gansfried. Ever heard of that name? Who's Rav Shlomo Gansfried? What's the most famous thing that Rav Shlomo Gansfried wrote? This sefer called the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's not as popular as it used to be. When I was growing up, it was more popular than it is today. But he wrote a Sefer HaChumash called the Aperion. And he writes a very interesting point. He says, why do we have the Shalach Manos on Matanos Lavionim? Because if we were just, really, we want to have Matanos Lavionim. But if we can have Matanos Lavionim alone, then, you know, the Avionim are going to be like singled out, that you're the recipients. So this way, everyone's giving and taking, you know, so it camouflages the Aniyim, that they shouldn't be like sticking out, that they're the individuals who are the recipients, as opposed to, you know, so everyone's giving and taking. Everyone, the whole community is doing that. And this way, the Aniyim don't stick out. But these are, so just to review some of the things that we mentioned. We mentioned the Mishanichnas Adar Marbi Mesimcha. We mentioned that that's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch, even though the Magen Avraham brings it down. And we said the Hisoros Tshuva from the Chacham Sofer's grandson said, because another halacha is brought down that maybe accentuates the same point, and that's the Yerushalmi that says if you're going on a trip and you're not going to have a Megillah, you can really start reading the Megillah already on, you can read the Megillah on reading for Rosh Chodesh Adar, because it's the month of Simcha. So it's already included in that. And then we saw the Rashi that says that Shenichnas Adar is Yimei Nisim Heim Yisrael Purim Pesach. It's not just Adar. It means it's the prelude to the whole, as Rav Lehrer said, it's the whole prelude of the whole season of Nisim. And that's what Rav Yaakov Emden says, that maybe from this you see Mishanichnas Adar is only Adar Sheni, because that's the prelude to Pesach. And then we discussed that Adar is the season of Emunah, and we said there's a correlation between the word Emunah and the word Vayi Omein Es Hadassah, that commensurate with the amount of Emunah we have is the amount of Bracha that we're going to receive. And we discussed the Rebbe of Zusha's Pshat in the Pasuk in Behar by Shemitah, that we have that interesting Pasuk that says, V'chisomar manochal bashana hashvis. That it's a question and answer thing. What's the idea that the Torah's saying questions and answers? Because the Torah's saying that once you start questioning, that gufa shows your lack in emuna, and that's going to hinder the bracha. And therefore Hashem says, so now you made me shut off the faucet. Now with tzivisias birchasi, I have to return it on. If you want bracha, because your lack of emunah caused that hindrance. And then we discussed the three times in the Gemara Pesachim where it says that you need lachem, that you can't opt to say, I'm going to have a day that's kulul Hashem. And we said the three occasions were Shabbos, Shavuos, and Purim. And the Sefer Bin Yishlomo explains, because these were the times that the Shultz explains, that the reason why we have Suda Shabbos is because we have a Suda for the creation of the world. Just like when you build a new Beis HaMikdash, you build a new house, you have a Suda to celebrate. So too, you have Chanukah Ha'olam as well, that then the world was in flux, right? And Hashem says, Yom HaShishi, if Klal Yisrael will accept the Torah, fine. If not, the world will go back to Tov Avo. So they accepted it in Shavuos. But then the Gemara says, but that wasn't such a good acceptance. Kofalim HaKigigis, it was under duress, etc. So they had to re-accept it again in the time of Purim. And then that kept the world going. And we said that that's the month of Hadar. Hadar is to focus on things in life that are going to cause, are going to be permanent, are going to be nitzchi. Like, you know, what car you have, this car, that car, it's here now, gone tomorrow. But the nitzchi is what chesed you do, what mitzvahs you do, how you care for people. And that's the minhag of the Rabbeinu Bechaya, to get a person's buried in the table. The table where they had all their orchim, all all the years. Okay, so these are some ideas that I wanted to share with you. If anyone wants to ask any questions or in Hashkafa and Halacha, I'd be happy to, anything. Now that we're here, I have a couple of more minutes. Yeah, sure.
Why wouldn't we include Rosh Hashanah, which is literally like the creation in those three things?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Rosh Hashanah is really the creation of Adam. Well, because really the world was created 6 days before, prior, right. So it wasn't really the time of the creation of the world. Yeah.
In terms of the Kedrapa being a function of Emunah, how does that relate to a person's ability? Because, like, did they have a lot of Emunah, so like, the condition of Rapa, but like, everything else about that?
Right. In other words, what you're saying, if the person is not roid to get the bracha, even if he has it, right. That's true. In other words, it's a whole package. It's not just, I believe I should get bracha, but you have to earn the bracha. You know, that's why, as far as right, why do we come to this world? What's the point of coming into this world? Why doesn't Hashem create us and go straight to Gan Eden? What's this stopover? So the famous Lashon of the Sfarim is what? Two Aramaic words called Nama Dikisufa, which Nama means bread in Aramaic, and Kisufa means embarrassment. Lechem Shalbusha. Because in life, if you don't earn something and you just get a handout, it's an embarrassment. When you earn something, you have a job, you earn something, then you feel good about yourself. So the same thing, we're going to come to Olam Haba and Hashem's just going to give it to us on a silver platter. It's going to be Musha. So this way we come to this world to do all the Torah and mitzvahs and chesed and all these things. So then when we go to Olam Emes, then... But you're right, you have to earn it, or else the whole thing is going to be... and that's the whole point that we are coming to this world for. Is coming to this world. I'll tell you one interesting vort from one of the Sfarim about Hillel. So, the famous Gemara in Shabbos says that a prospective ger came first to Shammai. And he said, I want to become Jewish in condition that you teach me the whole Torah on one foot. So Shammai said, I have no patience for this guy. So, it didn't work out. So then he goes to Hillel, and Hillel says, okay, I'll tell you, Dalach sani l'chavercha lo savid, that whatever you don't want to happen to you, you shouldn't do to others. And the Idach, and the rest is Zil Gemur, go learn a commentary on that. So there's a sefer called Beis Shmuel Achron, and one of the Achronim writes the following. Well, what did he mean that he wanted to come to this world? He wanted to become Jewish if he's going to learn the whole Torah on one foot. Well, it sounds like just a riddle. It sounds like ridiculous. Teach me the whole Torah when I'm standing on one foot. Must be something much deeper than that. So this sefer writes the following, that the Sfarim write that every individual, when he comes to this world, has to fulfill the whole Torah. And if he doesn't fulfill the whole Torah, he's going to have to come back. In other words, we believe that a person's neshama comes upstairs to the Gan Eden, he doesn't want to come back here. It's like, that would be horrific. That to leave such a, we were never in Gan Eden, we don't know what that is, but that's the impression, that it would be horrific to come back. So he said, but who could fulfill the whole Torah in one, no one could fulfill everything, because if you're a Kohen, you're not a Levi, if you're a Levi, you're not a, different mitzvahs are for different people, and you can't fulfill everything. So that's what the ger said. I'm willing to become Jewish if I can do it on one visit into this world. I'll regal achas. One time I'll come here and I'll take care of all my business and then I'll go to Olam Haba and I don't have to come back here. Then I'll be masking. It doesn't mean to literally stand on one foot. So Shammai said, impossible. Because no one can do it. Because you don't even have to come back and mashlim what you didn't do the first time. But Hillel said, no. If you're part of the klal, you know, if you have the attitude that whatever I don't want it done to me, I won't do it to others. So that means you care about the klal. So if you're part of the klal, then every mitzvah you do counts for him, and every mitzvah he does counts for you, because you're part of this one klal, and then you'll be able to do it in one time. And idach zil gemur, he explains, also means that if you learn, we have a concept that any mitzvah you can't fulfill, if you learn about that mitzvah, it's as if you fulfilled it as well. So he says those are the two ways that you can come to this world in one time and then have to come back again to make up all the things that you couldn't do. Okay, thank you so much. It's very nice to spend time. If you're ever in the Heights for a Shabbos, please feel free. You know, you could come for a Shabbos meal. We'd love to, my wife and I and family, we love to host guests in the neighborhood, but we don't know everybody. So we try to know everybody, but you can't know everybody. So if you please feel free, you can always call me, call my wife. Feel free to take the initiative to come with a friend so you feel comfortable. And you should all have a Freilich and Purim, and that should lead to the Pesach, because you may be similar in Israel, Purim and Pesach go together, and you should all be Matzliach in everything you do.